I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you this evening. I'm thankful for the chance that I've had to study God's Word. And I'm thankful for the chance that I have to share it with you. I'll agree with Scott that it is a little nerve-wracking standing up here, although you're my family in Christ and I love each of you. Still nervous. I'd like to talk briefly tonight about something that every one of us, I'm sure, deals with on a daily basis: worry and anxiety. We live in a culture and a society that is high stress, and some have labeled it the age of anxiety. Though some call the current age this, stress and worry is definitely not a new occurrence. In Luke 10:41, and I'll be reading a lot of scriptures tonight, and I'll be passing through them fairly quickly due to the time. When Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Indeed, worry is the watchword for our world. Worry is a futile and truly fruitless endeavor. If we don't have a job, we worry. If we do have a job, we worry about losing it. If we have no money, we worry. And if we have money, we worry about losing it or where it all goes. If we don't have a car, we worry about that. If we do have a car, we worry about it breaking down. If we don't have the level of education that we desire, we worry about it. And if we're pursuing an education, we worry about passing. If we're sick, we worry. If we're well, we worry about getting sick. If we have a flutter in the heart or a pain in the side, we think that we have something terrible. Of course, life cannot be lived free from all sense of anxiety and concern. For example, when driving, we can use caution and concern to avoid potential dangers. We can practice good health habits to avoid certain health issues. We can be financially responsible and conscious in order to be good stewards. This is not the worry that I'm talking about. The problem is this: it's easy to let our concerns become cares and our forethoughts to become fears. Through this, the sin of anxiety can result. What do people worry about? Countless, innumerable things. But let's put them into broad categories and talk about them. We worry about things that have already happened. I'm guilty. I've spent so much time that I wish I could recover on worrying about things, usually regrettable, that I've done in the past. I worry about small things, something that I may have said that made me look foolish, which I do a lot. A missed opportunity. And so on. Worrying about things in the past serves no purpose, like trying to put toothpaste back into the tube. It doesn't work. Past deeds cannot be undone, and past things cannot be unsaid. If the past involves sin, we need to obey the conditions of pardon and let God abundantly forgive. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And when God forgives us, we need to forgive ourselves. We worry about things that will inevitably happen. How fruitless. We worry about getting older. We worry about death. But as is stated in Hebrews 9:27, "And it is appointed unto all men once to die, but after this the judgment." We worry about the first day of school, a looming retirement, a job evaluation, taxes, etc. All of which worrying will not resolve. We also worry about things unknown or things that never actually happen. Mark Twain once said, "I've worried about a great many things in life, the most of which never happened." Let's now turn in our Bibles and read a well-known text in the Word that deals with worry directly, Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet our heavenly Father feedeth them. And yea, are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Or why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. From this text, we can learn what worry is. Worry is unnecessary. In verse 32, it says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. We who are faithful have an all-powerful Father who is sensitive to our every need. And he knows down to the number of hairs on our head, some easier to count than others. Worry is cruel. In verse 26, it says, behold, the fowls of the air, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? The thought that God would provide for the fowls of the air and not for us is preposterous and a cruel concept. To worry is to distrust in God's fatherhood, love, wisdom, and power. Worry is prohibited. In verses 25, 31, and 34, it says, be not anxious. The same Lord that made belief and baptism a requisite to salvation in Mark 16, 16 is the same Lord that prohibits worry. Worry is futile. In verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? We can wish we were taller, we can wear high heels, we can stand on our tippy toes, but it doesn't make it so. We can wish we were skinnier, prettier, more athletic, more intelligent, but to worry about these things will not do anything. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it does not get you anywhere. Mark 16, 3 through 4, the women worried about who would roll the stone away from the sepulcher where Jesus was laid, only to find out that the stone was already moved. How fruitless was their concerns. Worry is heathenistic. In verse 32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Jesus affirms that anxiety is a characteristic of the sinner, the lost. But those who have obeyed God are not of that number. Rather, we are saved, and the saved are not to worry. Worry is faithless. In verse 30, he says, O ye of little faith. Jesus used the phrase, O ye of little faith, four times in connection with anxiety. Well, he uses it in Matthew 6:30 in connection with anxiety. And in Matthew 8:26, he uses it in connection with fear. In Matthew 14:31, he uses it in connection with doubt. And in Matthew 16:8, he uses it in connection with human reasoning. In reverse order, I find it interesting to observe that human reasoning produced doubt. Doubt produced fear, and fear produced anxiety. Faith is the remedy for all of these. John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also." You know, when we think of sin, we immediately think of things like stealing, lying, murder, fornication, homosexuality. We don't often place the same emphasis on sins like worry. Is worry a sin? Well, let's examine that. Worry is a disregard for the commandments of God. We've already read Matthew 6:24 through 34. In Philippians 4:6, we're told to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In 1 Peter 1:13, we're told, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Worry is a waste of time and energy. A study completed at the University of Wisconsin showed that 40% of the test subjects' worries were over things that never happened. 30% were over things from the past. 22% were petty, needless worries. Only 8% were legitimate. The time spent worrying, the time and effort and energy spent worrying, could be used to do worthwhile things and study, meditate. It's hard, it's impossible to glorify God if we're consumed by worry. Worry impairs health. We've all heard the phrase, "They're just worrying themselves sick." Well, that's a true and literal statement. Stress is directly linked to fatigue, hives, angioneurotic, edema, asthma, high blood pressure. Many grave physical and mental disorders can result from worry. We can clearly see this by flipping the channels on the TV and seeing a half a dozen commercials for antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. Also, worry, like any prolonged or chronic pain or condition, will etch its impression into our countenance. A little girl asked her worried mother, "Are you happy? Aren't you happy?" "Yes," she replied sharply. Then the little girl replied, "Well, you haven't told your face yet." Worry will destroy the beauty of your countenance, the strength of your mind, and the vitality of your body. Worry is a robber of peace and of joy and of happiness. The word worry is from the Middle English worroan or wearian. I can give you the spelling later if you'd like that. It means to strangle, to harass as with a continual biting, also to shake and to strangle with the teeth. An ugly view of the truth about worry. It's not as harmless and innocuous as we sometimes perceive it. Yet the word of God tells us to rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice evermore." And Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Worry prohibits the answer of prayers. In order for our prayers to be answered, we must ask through faith. James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." To worry is the opposite of faith, and is a distrust in God. We should not be like the man who prayed for God's protection throughout the night, but then stayed up all night to see if he actually would. Jesus said unto Thomas in John 20:29, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, in conclusion, let's discuss how we can overcome worry. First of all, we must decide and make our minds up that we're going to conquer worry. We must repent, truly repent. Repentance is a change of mind which precipitates a change in actions. Let's consider Acts 2:38, when Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." The word translated "for" is the Greek word as, and is used about 1,700 times in the Bible, and has only one meaning, and it's "in order to obtain." We must therefore repent in order to obtain change. Another way we can overcome worry is to have the right relationship with God and with man. Paul, as we've already read in Philippians 4:6, said to be anxious for nothing. He also exhorts the brethren in verse 1 to stand fast in the Lord, which is the proper relationship with God. And in verse 2, he admonishes two brethren to be of the same mind, the right relationship with men. A person that is in a proper union with God and striving to live peaceably with all men will have few worries. We need to develop the right frame of mind. One passage in God's Word encompasses this, and I'd like to read it. It's Philippians 4, 8 through 9. If you turn over there. Again, this is one that we've read many times before. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I didn't see whatsoever things are worrisome on that list. We need to do our very best. We need to do what we can, and then turn the rest over to God. This is illustrated in concerning relationships with others in Romans 12:18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." We can only do what we're capable of. To worry about things that we have no control over is vanity. We need to cultivate our faith and a realistic trust in the promises from God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We must trust beyond all things in God. Let's consider a few of God's promises. Romans 8:28, Scott read this one this morning. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In verse 32, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all cares upon him, for he careth for you. And Psalms 46:1-2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. How great is our God! Do we have need to worry? I don't have time to read these other scriptures, but here are a few if you'd like to write them down for more of God's promises. Matthew 11:28-30, Philippians 4:19, Ephesians 3:20, Psalms 84:11, and Hebrews 13:5-6, all wonderful verses concerning God's promises to us. Quickly, my final points. We can overcome worry if we engage in purposeful work. God saw that man needed to work, and he appointed Adam tasks in the garden in Genesis 2:15. We need to transfer our care to others and the church. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Another way to overcome worry is to live your life free from guilt and shame. To do this, don't sin. Don't violate your conscience. 1 John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Avoid secret sins, Psalms 19:12. "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." Contrastingly, the wicked have no peace. In Isaiah 48:22, it says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." If we have past sins that haunt us and are unresolved, then we need to repent of them, as we discussed earlier, and turn from them. And finally, we need to take all things to God in prayer. In Psalms 55:22, it says, "To cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Paul tells us to be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4:6-7. Yes, it is a sin to be consumed by worry. We need to try to be like King Hezekiah, as we can read about in 2 Kings 19:14-37. When confronted by the threatening letter of Sennacherib, he set it before the Lord and prayed fervently. We should train ourselves to take all matters, great and small, and spread them out before the Lord. In doing so, the peace of God shall keep our hearts. Shall keep is a military term suggesting that God will send his peace, which will stand guard over our hearts, preventing the intrusion of anxious fears and alarms which, like our enemies, seeks to destroy us. There may be those present tonight who have not obeyed Christ, those who have not repented of sin and stand in bondage to those sins. If you would come forward tonight, believing on Christ, repenting of your sins, and wash clean those sins by the blood of Christ through baptism. Whatever your need is tonight, please come forward while we stand and sing.